been coming to Grace House for a short period of time and said, would it be all right with you if I just visited some of our folks who may be in the hospital or anything like that? And I before I could answer, I was already standing inside, Lord, you answer prayer. And I said, of course. Well, it wasn't long till it was very obvious that the Lord has anointed this man. He is such a blessing in the area of our pastoral ministry and care here. He and Mrs. Susie, and then this past, a little over a year ago, Pastor Shu and Betty came on board, and then just a month or so ago now, during the day, Pastor Doc and Pastor Larry are here at the church from 10 to 2. They alternate those days, but God is just bringing together a strong pastoral care team. As we grow, we're continuing to grow, and I'm just so humbled at what God is doing. But we love you. It doesn't matter if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, Pastor Gary. This is going on. It's my pleasure. I'm on my way. I so love you for that. Your heart, how God uses you, how you minister to people. And we honor you here tonight. Yes, let's stand and honor you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
He's going to be shucking the corn in the house tonight.
Yes. Brother Eddie didn't tell you one thing about that conversation we had. I mentioned, could I go and visit anybody? He pulled out a piece of paper and started writing names. So he got me started immediately. Thank you so much. What a pleasure to get to share with you tonight. I'm just praying for the Lord to just move among us and have His way and listen to what He shared with me. And I want to begin by just, let's bow for just a moment for my benefit. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my Lord, my strength, my Redeemer. Thank you, Father. Well, I got the wrong slide. Well, keep going. There she is. There's this girl. We just barely have tiptoed into this year, haven't we? We're not hardly very far along in it. And so I was thinking every one of us had probably made resolutions, and maybe one of those resolutions is that this would be the best year that we have ever had. And so I was thinking about how could I have the best year that I have ever had in the Lord. And the Lord just shared with me, put me first. Put me first. And this will be the best year that you have ever had. And so I got to thinking about ways and looking at Scripture about how to put God first. And the first thing that came to mind was Matthew 6:33, and all of you already know it. Seek first, the kingdom and His righteousness. And almost every time there's a command, there's a promise. And He said, when you seek first God and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. And Jesus also said in Matthew 22:37, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your spirit. Two good things, right? If we seek the kingdom and righteousness and we love like He loves, it's got to be a good year, hasn't it? Well, I'm going backwards for some reason. There we go. How about this one? Now, how God helps us to do those two things is in this verse in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Look how He said it. By His divine power, He has granted unto us all things, that's everything we need, that pertains to life and godliness. Now, here's the clue to all of this. Through the knowledge of Him. That's how we get it. So, if I were to ask you, I'm double clicking. There you go. Thank you. Whoever's helping me back there. If I were to ask, and I wouldn't dare make you raise your hands because I'd be in one of these hand-raising moments too. But if I were to ask you about raising our hands and say, do you put God first? There's four excuses or four responses to that we might try. I think I do. Or I sure hope I do. I've got new glasses coming and I can't see the back right now, so I have to turn around and do it this way. Most of the time I do. That means some of the time you don't, you know, when we say it like that. And the other is, well, I'm not really sure if I do. So let's just look at one area of our life, because there are so many ways that we could work on putting God first. Let's look at just one area. Well, we got lots of stuff. We got lots of stuff here. Oh, I've gone way past it. I didn't know what was going on behind me. Just click it quick. Okay, I must be doing it bad. This is supposed to be Matthew 6:24 when we find it. There it is. Okay. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, and this is going to kind of hone in on what we're going to talk about, okay? Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. You'll love the one, hate the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. And it sounds like just as a postscript, he put this on the back of it. You can't serve God and money. Well, actually, that's not a postscript. That really pertains to about giving. You lack one, hopefully, and maybe this is it, okay? Because I want to show you something about giving that God wants to bless you so very much. He wants to bless you like you can't even imagine. And I hope when I finish that you'll go to Brother Eddie and say, preach more about giving. I like to give. I want to give more. So maybe that'll work out like that, okay? So I guess the question that is really important here is, how can I know for sure, as far as giving is concerned, that I am putting God first? So the best way to do that is first do a little bit of study about giving and obedience, because the two go hand in hand. So always, if you're wanting to know something and want to start in God's Word, we check out the truth of God. That'll make it work. Hey, there it is. Okay, Exodus 13 and 1 and 2 would be really good about that if we're going to look at that. Let's look at it, and excuse me for turning my back on you. But then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn. Now we're talking about giving. Whatever opens the womb, did you notice he didn't say whoever opens the womb? Whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both the man and the beast, it is mine. Okay? Okay, here's the next one, right behind me. Now, if you looked it up that in the Hebrew language, here's what it would say. Shall transfer the right of ownership. When he said consecrate it or set it apart, what he's saying is, you're transferring the right of ownership to me. So let's read it like that. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, you shall transfer the right of ownership to me, all the firstborn, and there's that whatever again, opens the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast, it is mine. Okay, now here's Exodus 13:12-13. Set apart. What does set apart mean? Transfer the right of ownership. Set apart to the Lord all that open the womb, that is, every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the males shall be to the Lord. Now we're all from animals, okay? And we're going to talk about animals for just a second. God said, but the firstborn of a donkey, and we'll talk about why he said that in just a second, you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you'll break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. You shall transfer the right of ownership. So, now, this sounds like Old Testament, I know. And it is Old Testament. And it might sound somewhat strange because we don't do with donkeys very much anymore. Just, we do humans, we don't do much about donkeys, okay? But let me tell you what 1 Corinthians says. This is 1 Corinthians 10:11, and I really like this, and we really need to, when we read the Old Testament, we need to really seal this in our heart. It said, all these things which happened to them, and it's talking about the saints of all ages, and especially God's people back in the Old Testament, all things that happened to them are examples for us. They were written down to warn / teach us who live at the end of the age. Isn't that amazing? So we can't say, well, that's the Old Testament. I'm going to push that off because God said it's all for us. Every bit of it, everything He has done. Everything that God has instructed has value for all generations. Now, you might be wondering about the humans. We talked about the humans there. Let's talk about the humans for just a minute. The people who were heathen of that day, they kind of felt like they should do something for their God too. And they did. In one case, they built this big old iron statue called Moloch, and he was ugly as sin, which is what he was, I guess. And he had his hands out like this. And they heated him up to a terrible temperature so that his hands glowed. And those heathen people brought their children and laid them in the hands of Moloch, and they died instantly, of course. That's not what God said about us. God said, to transfer ownership, a lamb must be killed. Isn't that good? You remember back in the Passover, the first Passover, and they took the blood of a lamb, and they put it on the doorpost, and they put it on the lintel? And what happened then, when the death angel came by, they preserved all the firstborn of Israel. Isn't that wonderful? And you know what's more important? Firstborn males were presented to the Lord then as living sacrifices and represented all the birth of all the nation, and they were all consecrated to God in that act. I hope we get this next slide just right. This is one of my favorite slides. There it is. Y'all know Shrek's donkey? Y'all seen him before? Well, you know, you think, why in the world did God suddenly insert a donkey and start talking about donkeys right in the middle of all this? Especially when it related to the transfer of ownership. Well, donkeys were very, very valuable in those days. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, that was what came out with them. You know, Egypt had a lot of horses and beautiful horses, but they were given to the army and to those who were the elite, and they sure didn't give them away. That was the only thing they kept. But everybody in Israel came out with a donkey. So, every firstborn lamb now, every firstborn lamb, according to God's word, was immediately sacrificed to God. And they did that because they understood what God said. That lamb belonged to God. And they also understood that if they didn't sacrifice that lamb, they were stealing from God. Kind of keep that in mind, because that's really important. They didn't obey. Now, donkeys were unclean animals. And so what was going on there, God said, you shall redeem this donkey with a lamb. Now remember, what happened here was, with this old donkey who's not worthy of anything, his life was preserved and ownership was transferred to God by the sacrificial lamb that was made there. You shall redeem it with a lamb. Now, this donkey was really valuable. Let's just suppose somebody decided, I'm going to keep my donkey and make some money with it. I'm not going to do what you said about it. Remember it said back there, we would break his neck? Well, God didn't allow it for one specific reason. Because that donkey belonged to him. He said, you can't keep it. You can't steal it from me. The donkey belongs to me, and if you don't sacrifice the lamb, you kill the donkey. Think about this. If the unclean donkey was not redeemed, it died. Does that ring a bell kind of in your mind? The unredeemed. Oh, aren't you grateful for Jesus? How great are you, Lord? When we were born into this world, Were we clean or unclean? We were unclean, weren't we? When Jesus was born into this world, well, we're back ahead again. There you go. When Jesus was born into this world, he was clean. You see, the sacrifice that God always demands is the firstborn. God never accepts the second or the third or the fourth of anything. The principle is this. Give God the first one when you only have one. That takes a lot of faith, doesn't it? Give God the first one when you only have one, and that is obedience, and obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, I hope it's in your mind right now that giving to God today is important, and giving in the correct way, because God only accepts the first and the best that we have. So let's learn about giving now that we've kind of established this foundation. If you think back to the Old Testament, this one's hard to see. I'm sorry. It's really hard to see, but let's go back there. If you think back to the Old Testament, again, remember, these things were set for our benefit, for all generations. The tithe before God is a biblical principle, a standard not only for that generation, but for every generation in the future. How do I know that? How about when Abram came to Melchizedek and he was just coming off a great victory, but he gave him a tithe? In Malachi 3:10, God validates the tithe this way. I like the way God validates the tithe. He said, just try me. See if you can outgive me. You know, I like that. That's really good. And even Jesus in Matthew 23 was talking to the Pharisees who were still tithing, and he said, guys, you're just doing it in the wrong way. We got one more. Here we go. Okay. The tithe goes to the local church. And there's special wording about this in Malachi. It's very special, as a matter of fact. If you look at that, it says, bring the tithe into the storehouse. Do you know why God used the word bring? Because you can't give something that you don't own. You'd have to bring it. Isn't that an interesting thought about that? Here's why I said that. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all those that dwell therein. So, like you said way back in Exodus a while ago, it's all mine. Now, Malachi, I really love the third chapter of Malachi. God is talking to his very rebellious people. They're having a conversation all through the third chapter of Malachi. And God is talking to this, and he said, the people who claim to love him had really forgotten him. And so they're just saying, oh, things are so bad. It's just awful. God has forgotten us. And they're dialoguing with God. And so right in the middle of all that, he says, return to me. And they, faking ignorance, said, oh, how could we do that? Well, they were more or less saying, hey, we're already there. At least they thought they were. And God just shocked the daylights out of them right then. And he said, quit robbing me in tithes and offerings. What God is saying there, you can bring it or you can steal it. And that's really what was going on. Now, we've got a calf right here. Okay. Hey, we're about to get it together. Thank you. I'm trying. Do you remember that back in Moses' time, Israel was so quick to disobey? He was on the mountain too long and they made an idol, made a big old giant calf, okay? And God in Malachi 3 starts to speak very sternly with his people. He said, listen to this. This is God. I mean, this is the truth. He said, if you rob me, you're cursed with a curse. That's pretty straight. All right, y'all heard the song, Joshua at the Battle of Jericho and the walls come tumbling down. Right? Everybody knows about that. God gave the city of Jericho without a shot being fired, didn't he? But most of us don't realize what else took place around Jericho related to obedience to God. Now, I put the second verse of Joshua 6. I put 19 up there. I want to read you 18 first. Joshua and God are having a conversation right before the battle. And God said, now, Joshua, I want you to understand this. This is really important. It's, in other words, he's saying, be obedient. He said, by all means, abstain from the accursed things. Now, what the accursed things related to was things that were supposed to be destroyed when Jericho was overrun. And he said, if you don't, you become accursed when you partake of the accursed things, and you make the camp of Israel accursed, and you trouble it. Pretty serious stuff, isn't it? And he also said, in what you're reading up there, but all the silver and the gold and the vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. I didn't know until I was studying this that God cared anything about Jericho. But he said, I really care a lot about Jericho, and it's really important that you do what I tell you to do. What does consecrated mean? Transferring ownership to the Lord. Okay? And God says, you're cursed if you take what I want to be destroyed. Now, you may have read about the soldier Achan. I looked through all these soldiers and picked him out. It's got a point, got a pointer going to Achan. I figured that's probably him right there. So we need somebody to blame. So we picked that pointer out and we'll pick old Achan out there. And as you all know, Achan disobeyed. Not only did he disobey the first thing that God said, he disobeyed both things that God said. And this is what God said would happen to that person who did that. He said, then shall he who has taken the accursed things be burned with fire. Pretty serious, isn't it? And he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and he has done a disgraceful thing. Did you notice that God shows disobedience as being a disgrace? Pretty serious, isn't it? Do you know what Achan took? He took a robe that was made in Babylon. I guess he's just looking there and said, ooh, this is a pretty robe. Give that to my wife. So he stuffed it under his shield or somewhere. And not only, that was the accursed thing. That was what was supposed to be destroyed. And he got to looking around, and he saw a bar of gold and a couple of hundred silver coins, and he just couldn't resist that either. And he took that. Remember, he hid it in his shed, dug a hole and put it in it. Didn't do any good because, you know, disobedience was not good. Now, that's not the only story related to being obedient to God's word. God said something else here. We're going to see it in just a second. This is what he said. God's very serious about his word. Everybody knows that, right? Sometimes we kind of forget God's as serious as he is. And here's what he said. He said, Achan and his family were destroyed. And Joshua 6:26, he said, cursed. And that's not by. Cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up to build this city of Jericho again, to rebuild it, because God had cursed it. And he said, he shall lay the foundation with his firstborn, and his youngest shall set up the gate. And with his youngest, he shall set up the gate. Now, if you go to 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 34, God's word came true like it always does. And this is what happened. The man's name was Hiel, who decided he was from Bethel, and he decided to rebuild Jericho. I suppose he surely knew this command. If he didn't, ignorance is not bliss, is it? And it said in 1 Kings 16:34, when he laid the foundation, it cost him the life of his oldest son, Abram. And he completed and set up the gate, it cost him the life of Segub, his younger son. We're right on target here, I think. Is there one with the cross that we hadn't got to yet? Was there one with the cross? Just, that's it. Now, let's go from that one to the next one. I'm sorry. Thank you. Now, we all know the story of Cain and Abel, don't we? Both of them knew what God said, obviously. And so Cain knew, and it was kind of bothering him. And one day, he, on his own, as he wanted to, brought God an offering. Didn't say anything about doing what God said do, bringing the first fruits. He just said, okay, today I'll bring God an offering. He was casual about the Word of God. It's so important that we're not casual about the Word of God. And as you know, Abel brought an offering of his firstborn. I want to tell you, God cannot and could not accept Cain's offering because it was not tithed. God will not accept second. He will never be second. He is greatest of all. He is over all. He is almighty. And he deserves to be obeyed. Malachi in chapter 3. I like Malachi chapter 3, by the way. Think of this. And this might be a little complicated sounding, but it won't be in just a minute. In Malachi chapter 3 and 8 and 9, let me just read it so it will come out better. Chapter 3, 8 and 9. God, this is where God said, you've robbed me, but you say, how have we robbed you? And he said, in tithes and offerings. And says, because you're doing that, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So here's the deal. If you're thinking about tithing, if the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you and you've been working on this and say, well, maybe I ought to, maybe I shouldn't, maybe I will. If you've been working on this, let me tell you, you can't start to tithe until you tithe. Now, if that doesn't make sense, what I'm saying is that first tithe breaks the curse. After that, you can tithe and expect the blessing. But until you start to tithe, the curse stays right where it is. So that first tithe is the curse breaker. When giving our tithe, the first way is God's way. You're going to see in just a second, I'm going to tell you about how God's going to bless you when you decide to do that. If you're dealing with that, and I ask God to send somebody who's dealing with that tonight, maybe several people who are dealing with that, because I want to show you the blessing. Now, the number two way that you can please God in giving is this one. Malachi 3:8. He talks about that we're blessed. The second way is in Malachi 3:8. He speaks of giving and offering. We've spoken of tithe, and now we're going to speak about offering. So how is it that God can say anything about an offering, because after you give the tithe, the rest belongs to you? But he said, hey, I want to show you three ways to please me, to bless me, and the second one is giving an offering. And here's how it works. When you give an offering, the way that you're robbing God is you are robbing God of his opportunity to bless you. Because of all things in this whole world, God wants to bless you. He loves you beyond anything we can ever imagine. Now, back in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, God said tithes and offerings. We just read it. Tithes and offerings in the same sentence. But I want to read you something he says about those two things back from Malachi again. This is what he says about the tithe. He said, try me now. Now watch this and think about this in your own life. Try me now and see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room for you to receive it. Now, the second part is as good. This is taking care of your income. He said, I will rebuke the devourer for you. Who's the devourer? The one who comes to steal and kill and destroy. Yeah, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall your vine fail to cast its fruit in the field. And all nations will call you blessed. That's not a bad deal, is it? You know, God said, this is what I'll do if you do what I ask you to do. And all you've got to do, listen, I'm telling you, I'm old enough. We've tried it. We've worked in it. It works. Some of you older people say amen. You know, it really does work, because God's word is true. It works every single time. Let's see if we can come up with a field and a barn right here. Here we are. Okay. The third way to put God first, is in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Now, I didn't put it up there because I wanted to see that pretty barn and everything, because I want you to think about it. Here's what it said. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. God has a command. He has a promise. Here's the promise. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, I don't have a barn and I don't have a vat, but I trust God to do whatever it is it's called to fill my barn, whatever it might be, and my vats. Because that's what he said he'd do. You don't have to be a farmer to get this blessing. Isn't that good? And first fruits. So what is first fruits? We've got tithe, we've got offering, and the third way is first fruits. So what is first fruits? That is extra income or wealth or blessing that God gives us. And I know that sounds like tithing, but what's the difference? It's this. Tithing is done on a regular basis on earned income. First fruits are something else that you are going to get. Maybe you save $500 on your car insurance. Or maybe somebody just guilts up and gives you a wad of money in your hand. Whatever it is, first fruits are special blessings from God. You can't tell what I'm going to tell you now, okay? Promise you won't tell this, right? Okay. Three or four times a year, we're just blessed to go out to a little sweet little independent church and love to preach out there. And there's a man and a woman that go to church there. And she usually comes down and talks to me and shakes hands. He always goes to Susie. And he always shakes hands with Susie. And when he quits shaking hands, there's money. Not a dollar, not little money. There's pretty good money in her hand. And he says, y'all go out and have a big lunch somewhere. Great day, we can have a week's worth of some of that. You know, it's good money. That's what we're talking. That's the blessing. That's that extra income. Sometimes you know what we do with it? Some of our friends have come out because they know we're there. We take them out to dinner. It's okay to spend it while we want to. Sometimes we give it away. Sometimes we just put it in our pocket. You know, you can do anything you want to with this first fruits blessing. God just wants to give them. Look at Hebrews 13:16 on your screen now. And it says, and don't forget to do good and share with those in need, for these are the sacrifices that please God. I think he specifically gives those things because he wants us to go out and do that. Here's what, listen to this wonderful verse in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. You know it really well. I just want you to see the different things about it. He said, give and it will be given to you. There's the command, give, and here's the blessing, it will be given to you. Here's how it's given to you. You know this. A good measure, that's a whole bunch. Pressed down. Y'all ever try to put too much stuff in a suitcase and you just keep pressing it down and pressing it down, you know, and finally you get it where you can zip it. Pressed down. He said, if you press down all my blessings, you can just keep putting blessings in there on it. And then he said, shake them together. How many of y'all try to pour something, beans or something in a thing? You just shake it and shake it and it'll go on down, it'll go on down, and you keep putting some more in on top of it. That's how he said my blessing's going to be. And you can't outgive him because he says, and running over. Press down, shaking together, good measure, and running over. So be careful. If you measure, he said, with the measure you measured, it'll be measured to you. If you measure with a teaspoon or a shovel, that's what you're going to get back. That's what he said. Now, as Brother Eddie says, I'm rounding third and sliding in home just a minute. Okay? Two things I want to tell you real quick. Think about our marvelous, wonderful God who gave the very best. He gave His first fruits, His only begotten Son, that we who were cursed donkeys have been redeemed and we are owned by God and we have a home in heaven just because of that wonderful love of God. Oh, I just can't hardly get around that, you know? But let me show you the other side of that. Think about this. Over in Exodus chapter 13, you remember Moses came again and again and again and again to Pharaoh. He was a double-minded man. He'd make up his mind, he'd change it. And one day God got tired of that, and the death angel came. Do you know what the death angel did on that night? This is what the word says in verse 15. And the death angel killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. God got his tithe. One more slide. We can bring up a good-looking little boy, young man now. Here he is. This is Alex. He's one of our precious grandsons. We've got quite a few of them. Alex is saved. Alex just turned 32 years old yesterday. When Alex was in high school, he did not like to study. And right toward the end of it, he quit. He went out and got a job, got his GED. He was really mechanical. But he didn't really have much sense at that time, to be honest. I'd tell him that. He and some of his friends would be standing around looking at the cars they were driving, and they'd say, "Why don't we just swap keys?" And sometimes he'd get one worse than he had, and he always had a bad one. Really smart, wasn't it? Alex was very mechanical. He got a job as working in a Chevrolet dealership, stayed there for a long time in Tuscaloosa. He kind of liked it, but he kind of didn't. He drifted from job to job because Alex wanted to start at the top of the ladder, not the bottom. It really bugged him because people made more money than he did. And he couldn't figure that out. Alex would call me every once in a while, and he'd tell me about his job, and he'd tell me he wasn't happy. And when he went to Texas because his sister lived out there, and he got work with the oil industry out there. He liked that for a while, and then he kind of didn't like it. And one day we were talking, Alex and I were real close, and one day he was talking, and I said, "Alex," he was complaining about the job, and I said, "Alex, let me tell you something from God's Word." I'm talking to a little slave boy who kind of forgot where he is. I said, "Alex, if you'll draw near to God, God will draw near to you." That's all. For the next several weeks, when we talked, I shared that scripture with him again and again. One day, Alex called me. I could see him dancing even over the phone. Alex was so excited. He said, "Granddaddy, I gave my life back to Jesus today." He told me all about the church. He every time I talked to him then, he'd say, "Oh, God's doing this for me. God's doing that for me. It's so good, Granddaddy. It's so good." And we kept talking about draw near to God and be obedient, and He'll draw near to you. And we talked about giving, because he wasn't used to doing that. He barely was getting by what he had, he thought. And one day we were talking. He said, "Granddaddy, I want something so bad. This is a desire, deepest desire of my heart." You know, God says He give you the desire of your heart. He said, "Granddaddy, I so want a good job, a good paying job. I so want to get married. I so want to have a home and some children. I really want that." And I said, "Alex," he said, "I know what you're going to say." Not too long after that, and now about 3 years ago or so, Alex called us one day and he said, "Could y'all meet me in Athens?" He's in Texas. And I said, "Yeah, when do you want to meet you in Athens?" He said, "Meet me at Cracker Barrel in Athens." He said, I've got an interview with a big plumbing company who does new house installations. They're a big company. He said, "Pray that I can get this job. I really want it." So we sat in Cracker Barrel for a long time and he didn't show up. And finally, he did show up. He ran in the building. He had on a hat that said All Star Plumbing on it. He was one happy, happy young man. He started studying when he got that job. He didn't like studying, but now he started studying. It's a hard job to become a journeyman plumber, but he took the test for the journeyman plumber and liked just a little bit making it. But it didn't disturb him at all. He said, "I'm going to get it." And he went back and he became a journeyman plumber. He was so good at what he did. He was so happy with what he was doing. They made him a crew leader, gave him men under him to do that same job over and over again. He remembered a young lady that he used to date when they lived in Hartsville. And he got in touch with her. That young lady had married. It was his former girlfriend. She'd married. But her husband had been lost a leg in the 2011 tornadoes. And he had become a drug addict. And he treated her horribly, horribly, horribly. And they divorced. He had a little boy. Well, by that time, he was a pretty good-sized little boy. And Alex and she began to date, and they fell in love. God gave him another desire of his heart. And not long ago, about 4 months ago, he gave him one more desire of his heart. I wish I'd have put her picture up there. We've got the cutest little great-grandchild you ever saw. Do you know what? I'm sorry. He got good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Because he simply was obedient to God. That's it. Remember what Malachi 3 said? I read you a moment ago. Big, big, big blessings. Big blessings. And I'll protect your income. If you don't know about that, if you've ever saved a little bit and the refrigerator went out or your car broke down, you know what I'm talking about. You know, your income needs protecting sometimes. God's word is true. All we have to do is be obedient to it. So what we're going to do in just a minute, Andrew, wherever you are, Andrew and I talked about a song that almost all of you know. And I hope with all my heart that the Holy Spirit has taken these few words from the Word and has touched your heart. We're going to sing an old hymn out of the hymn book. Hey, hymn. Do you all remember? All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. And the chorus starts out, I surrender. Now, I know maybe this to some of you has been difficult because you're thinking, well, I just can't give Him what I need to give Him because I don't have enough. Yes, you will. Have I shown you that you will? Instead of stashing back those good things, those extra things He gives you, use them for His glory. Oh my, you'll come running in and say, oh, it works. So what I want us to do, would you just stand with me, and some of you who are altar workers tonight, would you walk down the front, and this is what I want to ask you to do. I want you to consider two things. First of all, I want you to consider giving to the Lord as He directs you. Is that fair enough? Whatever He's been talking to you about, please do that. And secondly, if you've been dealing with obedience is better than sacrifice. He surely loves you. And He wants to bless you more than you can ever imagine. Simple as those two things. Y'all know this song, you can sing it with me.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence.
Please trust God to do it. Please know obedience is wonderful and He blesses. You do it one more time, Andrew.
Our commitment
to Him right now.
I surrender.
thank you that because of Jesus, ownership of our lives is transferred to you, and we're looking forward to our home in heaven. And in the meantime, thank you for blessings pressed down, shaken together, and running over. We worship and adore you at Grace House, Father. Thank you for the blessings that have come and the ones that are coming. Be glorified in this place, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ.